Hello, folks, and welcome to our Debt Domino series, the first installment titled The Debt Crisis. I am Lyndon Davis, and I will be speaking with you about this crisis. And at the end, we'll also look at how to get out and possibly even avoid this debt crisis that many of us are facing. You know, the famed Patrick Henry proclaimed, "Give me liberty or give me death," at America's founding. But coming out of the COVID lockdowns, it appears that the slogan for the American consumer is, "Take my liberty and give me debt." American household debt hit a record $16.9 trillion at the end of 2022. And that is up $2.75 trillion since 2019, according to the Federal Reserve. Now, if you had to write that check, it would read 16,9 with a lot of zeros after it. That's a big, big number. Americans owe $986 billion on credit cards, surpassing the pre-COVID lockdown high of $927 billion. We owe $11.92 trillion on mortgages, $1.55 trillion on vehicle loans, and $1.6 trillion for student loans. Now, did you get that? Yeah. Student loans are now second behind mortgages. Talk about higher education? Yeah, right. With average consumer debt in America on the rise, it's no surprise that debt delinquency, that is, missed payments of 30 days or more, has increased for nearly all debt types. While anyone can get into debt and have trouble paying their bills, the latest American debt statistics show that younger people are falling behind faster and going into delinquency, particularly on credit cards and auto loans. Younger borrowers have surpassed pre-pandemic rates on delinquency. Delinquency rates for older borrowers are rising but haven't reached the pre-COVID lockdown levels. Here's a look at how much non-mortgage debt Americans have by age group and the average non-mortgage per capita debt for each group. Now, I said here's a look, but you're going to be listening and hopefully you can catch these statistics. For the 18 to 29-year-olds, now what is that, Gen Z, Gen Next, whatever they're called, you know what category you're in, 18 to 29-year-olds, $69 billion in total or $12,871 on average per 18 to 29-year-old. The 30 to 39-year-olds, who are those, millennials or something like that? $1.17 trillion or $26,532 on average. 40 to 49-year-olds, $1.13 trillion or $27,838 on average. 50 to 59-year-olds, $98 billion or $23,719. Have you picked out where you are yet? Oh, well, we're coming to you. Hang on, we're getting to you. 50 to 59-year-olds, yes, that is where I am. Yes, the old Gen X, $98 billion. At least we're not in the trillions. $98 billion, $23,719 on average. 60 to 69-year-olds, $64 billion or $16,661 on average. And then for 70 and older, $36 billion or $9,827 on average. Now, you might be saying, if you were paying attention, you know, those Gen Zers, they may be up to something. They had the second lowest debt of the age categories. Well, folks, that's because they haven't lived for anything. I mean, think about it. They haven't had a family. They haven't, generally, by and large, they haven't taken time to take out big mortgages or send kids to school or to take big, fat, thick European vacations. They really haven't lived for much. So yeah, it's a good thing they haven't amassed a ton of debt. Although there are some that are coming out of school. Remember that higher education? Yeah, there's some coming out of school with tons of debt. But by and large, that age group does not have a whole lot of life experience that drives most of us toward that debt lifestyle. The real deal is, you look at the 70 and older category, they had the lowest average, the lowest total, and the lowest average per person than any of the age categories. What does that tell you? They've lived through some things. They've seen some things. They've seen the cycles. They've seen the ups and downs. But more importantly, they've seen what debt can do, especially when it comes at an inopportune or unexpected time. So if there's anyone we want to pattern ourselves after, well, maybe for sports and for online this or that, it's the Gen Zers. But for money management, get rid of the debt. We want to look at the 70 and older. Less debt, better living. Now, we're going to talk about debt to income ratios. What is a debt to income ratio? Well, it's simply a ratio where you take your monthly spending and you divide it by your monthly income. It's a key indicator of financial health. So for instance, if your debts amount to $2,000 a month and you make $4,000 a month, your debt to income ratio is 50%. $2,000 is your debts, you divide that by $4,000, which is your income, you get 50%. Folks, it also means that you are in dire need of a financial overhaul. The maximum debt-to-income ratio to qualify for a mortgage is usually 43%. Most financial advisors recommend keeping your DTI, debt-to-income ratio, at 30% or lower. I say a lot lower, like zero. Zero is my hero when it comes to debt. The median individual income in America for 2022 was $56,368. So median again means half of the incomes were higher, half of the incomes were lower. The median household income, as estimated by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, was $90,000 in 2022. And get this, the average American household debt load, including mortgage, is $101,915. That's almost $12,000 more in debt than income. What a way to live! Where I owe more than I actually bring in every year? No, folks, not a way to live. That is just touching on some of the crisis of debt that we find ourselves into. Now I want to touch on some debt myths. We're going to still continue in this crisis mode, but I want to deal with some myths right now. So myth number one is, well, you should get a credit card to build your credit score and take advantage of cashback bonuses and airline miles. Well, the truth is, you don't need a credit score to win with money or to build wealth. Here's the thing about the credit score, folks. It's really just saying how much you've been in debt in the past or presently. There's nothing about your credit score that indicates how wealthy you are or how well you handle money. All it tells us is you owed or you still owe. Next myth, you can't enjoy your life until you're debt-free. This is a myth. You can still enjoy your life while you're working to pay off your debt. Just make sure you're setting aside money each month to pay down your debt and that you're not overspending on unnecessary items. Another myth, you're in debt because you're stupid. Well, that might explain a lot of things for me, but no, you're not in debt because you're stupid. Anyone, and I do mean anyone, can end up in debt, regardless of their intelligence or financial savvy. Sometimes, sadly, folks, sometimes debt is simply a result of an unexpected expense, like a medical emergency or a job loss. So no, you're not stupid, and that's the reason for you being in debt. Another myth, you can't get out of debt on your own. That is, you cannot get out of debt on your own. Well, the truth is, there are many resources available to help you get out and stay out of debt, such as credit counseling agencies and debt settlement companies. You do not have to go through this alone, folks. Another myth, you can't go to college without a student loan. Remember that higher, like in the cost is higher, education that we mentioned that is now second, student loan is now second in overall debt to mortgages? It is a total and unadulterated myth that you cannot go to college without a student loan. The truth is, anyone can go to college without student loans. Yes, anyone. No matter their economic background, students can graduate debt-free if they choose an affordable school, apply for lots of scholarships, and get a job to start saving money. Now let's look at another part to this crisis that goes by very much unnoticed in the larger scale economy, and that's this business of co-signing. There are a few reasons why someone might co-sign a loan. For example, you might co-sign a loan for a child or other family member who is unable to get a loan on their own. You might also co-sign a loan for a friend who has good credit but is going through a temporary financial hardship. Folks, there are risks associated with co-signing a loan. If the borrower defaults on the loan, you, yes, you could be responsible for making the payments. Additionally, if the borrower does not make the payments, you could be sued by the lender. In Proverbs 11 and verse 15, it's written, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." And then, as a contrast, the well-known but often ignored Proverbs 22 states, "The borrower is a slave to the lender." What these verses are telling us is that generosity is to be favored, that is giving, and bondage is to be disfavored, that is lending. As Proverbs 11 plainly states, the relationship of giving with cheerfulness produces a virtuous cycle in that everyone is refreshed and it leads to more refreshing. The relationship based upon lending leads to a vicious cycle where resentment and ill will foments and continues unabated. The conclusion? If you want to help a friend or relative who's in a tough spot financially, remember this rhyme. If they're hurting for money, give them dough. But loaning them money is a definite no-no. Now, before we look at the impact of debt, I want to leave you with this little nugget. I want you to ponder it. It's not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor. One of the causes for debt, whether a little or a lot, is that there's a craving for more, even when one cannot afford it. Let us be wise to remember the words of the apostle, whether in having little or having much, learn to be content in all circumstances. All right, we're picking back up now with the impact of debt. And I'll be reading from my book, and it's called Air Supply, How to Financially Breathe Easier. And you can find this on Amazon for sure and everywhere where fine books are sold online. So reading from chapter 5, it can be contracted. Now in this chapter, I'm making the comparison between debt and carbon dioxide. That is the product of respiration, the exhaled product of respiration. So picking up here, I'm reading here from a section that says, "When carbon dioxide levels become excessive, a condition known as acidosis occurs, and the body then uses specific mechanisms to compensate for the excess carbon dioxide that include increased breathing rate, increased breathing volume, increased blood pressure, increased heart rate, and increased kidney functions to cushion the effects of acidosis. Furthermore, blood is restricted from flowing to the extremities, while certain major arteries dilate to maintain blood flow to critical organs. At very high levels of carbon dioxide, the body's compensatory mechanisms can become overwhelmed. Brain and spinal cord functions are compromised, then fail. Death soon follows." That is fascinating, folks. Now, remember, I'm making a comparison here between debt to your finances as carbon dioxide is to your air supply, to your breathable air supply. So now let's pick this thing up. As the body appears to function normally in processing carbon dioxide, so it appears that your money production, that is, your ability to drive an income or to make an income from investments or other sources, so it appears that your money production functions normally with a certain level of debt. The insidious nature of debt is that it does not announce when it is about to create havoc or totally ruin you financially. A sudden job loss, illness, accident, or marital or familial disruption can occur at any time and without warning. When income is greatly reduced or halted altogether due to one or several of these disruptions, debt no longer hides behind the veil of being, in quotes, manageable or a tool. It now shows its true nature and begins to exact punishing blows upon your finances with impunity. Many can attest that during these times of financial crisis brought on by debt, they have experienced increased breathing rate, increased breathing volume, increased blood pressure, increased heart rate. Furthermore, blood is restricted from flowing to the extremities while certain major arteries dilate to maintain blood flow to critical organs. Look familiar? Yep, it's the same description as what happens in the excessive carbon dioxide situation. The way your body deals with excess carbon dioxide is the way your finances deal with debt. The difference is, folks, you need carbon dioxide to breathe. You do not need debt for anything, anything, ever. So bear that in mind. Now, debt and mental health. Does debt cause mental illness, or does mental illness cause debt? Yes. That's the best answer researchers have come up with after years of study. The term mental illness covers a wide range of issues and many degrees of severity. Whether it is a seemingly passing issue or a severe entrenched problem, it is important to be aware of it, acknowledge it, and take steps to address it. Behavior patterns that compel some to spend without restraint can drive a person into debt just as surely as a financial emergency caused by a car crash. Regardless of how someone falls behind, being in debt can trigger unsettling emotional responses. Many of those behavior patterns have their roots in the most fundamental parts of our financial lives. Most student loan borrowers, for instance, experience a reduction in mental health and increased anxiety as they realize they can't pay back student loans or even have to, default on the loans. Now, one of the coping mechanisms or one of the effects upon the body or the mind is denial. Denial has long been a way of fiscal life in Washington, D.C. Can anyone attest? Huh? Do I get a witness? But the flow has turned into a torrent due to the COVID-19 lockdowns, the ensuing relief bills, and then the ensuing inflation crisis. The national debt surpassed $30 trillion with a T in 2022 and continues to rise unabated. Consumers don't have the luxury of endless deficit spending, though many act as if they do. They spend compulsively while ignoring their deteriorating financial condition. They put off dealing with problems until some outside event, credit denied, threat of foreclosure, legal action, harassing phone calls from debt collectors, until those kinds of things actually forces a change. Another effect upon the mind and body is anxiety. Anxiety, this is stress with the scab torn right off. The thought of getting a late payment notice doesn't just make you uncomfortable, it gives you a rapid heartbeat, shortness of breath, dry mouth, headache, and the shakes. What about anger? Yeah, that's a factor too. As the economy sags, anger issues rise. The economy goes down, anger goes up. This phenomenon got its own name in the medical circles. It's called debt anger syndrome. Instead of panicking or denying problems, victims get mad. They're mad at the creditors who continually send them bills. Mad at the mailman for delivering the bills. mad at their bosses for not paying them more, mad at their spouses for not making more money, mad at their kids for needing new braces, and mad at themselves for getting into this fix in the first place. In short, they're mad at life. This not only can ruin relationships, the physiological effects can lead to migraines, heart disease, and reduce your resistance to infections. And yes, folks, you knew it was coming. One of the biggest effects of debt upon your health, depression. People deny, freak out, and lash out over debt. After they work through those stages, the bills are still staring them back in the face. That's when depression sets in. The health effects of depression include difficulty sleeping or eating, increases in alcohol consumption or substance abuse, and worsening chronic conditions. Hopelessness sets in, as does low self-esteem. Now, check out some of these things here. There is no wall between your mental and physical health. Folks, there's no separation. The two overlap and affect each other in ways both good and bad. When debt and stress are involved, the effects are seldom positive. Debt and stress can affect your physical health in a number of ways, including but not limited to, pay attention, blood pressure, which is also influenced by diet and overall condition. Add stress, and this can become a serious problem. Heart rate, which can also affect your heart's rhythms, which can in turn lead to stroke and other events. Immune system functions, which have been very much in the news during the COVID-19 lockdowns. Mood, which has consequences internal, like your mental wellness, and external, such as your important relationships. Memory, which can be impacted and which can then create further stress. And yes, weight gain. And for some, weight loss, which has implications for your blood pressure and heart health. Now, I want to touch on something here. We're talking still about a debt crisis, looking at the vicious cycle of debt and health, how your health affects your debt consumption, and how your debt consumption affects your health. That vicious, yes, that's vicious with a V, that vicious cycle of debt and health. Some research found that worrying about debt triggers stress, which reduces your resilience against mental health problems. Other studies show mental health problems decrease self-control, increase spending, and basically mess up a person's financial judgment. So I worry about the stress, which causes me to spend, which causes me to worry about the stress. Denial. Such behavior just leads to more debt as interest charges and late fees pile up, which leads to more denial. You see, ignoring reality is a handy defense mechanism for the brain. It's a way to rationalize mistakes and protect your ego. The problem is, reality always sets in. How about stress? You spaz out when you get your Visa bill, which causes you to go buy a drink to calm you down, but you use the same Visa card to buy that calming drink. So the drinking causes you to spaz out when you see the Visa bill, which causes you to go get a drink, which causes you to spaz out and go get some more debt purchases on your Visa. Folks, what a vicious cycle. But keep in mind, this is also true about purchasing a vacation, a vehicle, a gadget, or engaging in a food frenzy or impulsive binging. The stress of debt causes you to go out and purchase on debt, and so the cycle continues. Depression can lead to even more debt, since sufferers sometimes try to relieve their depression by treating themselves to a shopping spree or some other mental getaway. But all that does is lead to more debt, which leads to more depression and despair. At that point, people don't care whether their pain is caused by debt or debt is causing their pain. They just want the pain to end. Well, folks, that is the debt crisis that's upon us. It affects the way that we spend, the way that we save. It affects our mental, our emotional, and our physical health. There seems to be way more debt at all levels of government. But personally, we have more debt now than we seem to have ever had before. Debt is all around us. That's a crisis indeed. But have no fear. There are ways out. There are ways to avoid and to get out of debt. First and foremost, you've got to make a decision. Make a decision that you will no longer live on debt, using debt, with loans, borrowing, whatever it is, you are not going to be any longer kept in bondage by debt. The second, seek help. Remember, you're not destined to go through this thing alone. You can get help. You can get help from family, from friends, but professional help also exists. There are numerous organizations of which you can make yourself available to that can assist you in getting out and staying out of debt. Here's one that is definitely within your power. Discontinue all credit purchases. Just stop it. Have an envelope method if necessary. Put coins in a piggy bank if you need to save up for another purchase. But stop with the plastic. Give it up. After all, it's only making matters worse for you. Stop. Discontinue all credit purchases. And of course, implement a debt reduction or elimination program. Debt Dominoes, the name of the series, is one such program. It will help you get out and stay out of debt. As I have been known to say, I will say it once more today. Debt is a four-letter word. And you know what your mother told you about using four-letter words. Get the rid of debt. In your speech, but most importantly, in your life. This is Lyndon Davis with The Debt Crisis in the series, Debt Dominoes.